DS-106 Radio for life.
If at first you don't succeed, then skydiving isn't for you. But DS-106 Radio might be. DS-106 Radio, where futzing is an art form.
David, if he can hear us.
Yeah, we are live. This is the DS-106 Good Spell. As Rochelle says, futzing splendidly since 2013 on the DS-106 Radio for Life. This is one of 106 bullets, mantras and cones. If you like, the Explore the Open Online Course Digital Storytelling 106. Some meditations and rambles about education, openness, open education, art, fun, learning and creativity. I'm John Johnson, and with me as usual is Mariana Finnis. Hi Mariana. Hi Giffa Dog.
Good evening from the Giffa Dog to DS 106 Radio.
I'm going
to kill that dog.
he's in good voice tonight. How are you?
I'm all right, John. He's been sleeping for hours, and of course he had to decide to wake up as we start.
Yeah, it couldn't have a decent show without
let's wait and see if the piggy toy comes on. Anyway,
Colin has obviously many more strings to his bow than just one toy. He can bark and do all sorts of stuff. Anyhow. As we sort of mentioned, the bullet point, which is, for people who have never listened to it before, one of 106 bullets that Mariana wrote, the bullet for today is, it never goes according to plan, and that is just okay. I think we regularly talk about the fact that, you know, everything seems to go wrong. I started broadcasting on the wrong radio station tonight. Although, I think I pulled it back before 8 o'clock, which is quite unusual. But I think this is more maybe about the interesting things, the serendipitous things that come from being open to following mistakes and the likes, is it?
Well, I think originally, in terms of my own thinking process, having just finished the Headless 13, probably the emphasis here is on the "it's just okay." I don't think that it's something that I was that comfortable with before I started the S106. The idea that, you know, things might just not go according to plan, and that publicly they might not go according to plan, as per what happens when you are live on the S106 radio and you don't remember a name, and you don't remember something, or as you say, or you start broadcasting on the wrong radio station. But somehow that's the learning, really, isn't it? That's the learning, that it is okay, and that we work with that, and that there are all sorts of reasons why getting comfortable with things not going according to plan can help us learn, can help us be creative and all sorts. And that's, I guess, what we can talk about today.
Yeah, it sort of ties in a wee bit, I think, with the failure thing that we've touched on yesterday. And I found a nice link actually today, or I read a bit on, where is it, Wired Campus, it's about a professor at the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, who is borrowed elements of gaming to develop Gamecraft, it says, a learning management system. I know it's not necessarily futzing, but it says here, and I'm just reading straight off the thing, at the heart is a tool called the Grade Predictor that helps to manage some of the chaos of such a personalised system, because students, it says, organise their own courses in a gameful way, and I guess that's sort of that ties in for last week, and it ties in, it struck me that it was very kind of DS106 like, apart from the points and leaderboards, although there's a points thing in the number of stars you get and the challenge to get so many stars for people who are doing the course seriously in DS106.
Yeah, very much so. And I guess the kind of it connects absolutely, I think, because from a psychological point of view, what all of this is about is what, you know, I think it was Bateson who talked about, you know, the play frame and putting the importance of putting a play frame around what we do and the difference that makes to creativity and to our ability to be willing to experiment and find new ideas if we are able to put a frame around a situation, around, you know, an activity, be it a course, be it making art, be it whatever it might be, that says, actually, this is play.
Yeah.
And if we can say that and we can kind of operate from that frame, that, you know, frees us up from, I guess we don't need to then engage the kind of critical parent and the little voice that goes, oh, that's no good, oh, that's never going to work, you know, that kind of thing. And that helps us work with new ideas and try things out.
I think the play frame, I've been trying occasionally with various people to get folk to change the word workflow into play flow.
Mm.
Like they talk about, you know, digital tools, you get people in my sphere of sort of lower education technologies talking about workflows and things like that, and app smashing, which, you know, they use several, say, applications to tie things together. And I think app smashing, to me, sounds quite a violent word, and workflow sounds a bit hard. So I kind of like the idea of play flow. But I think play frame's probably going to make it before play flow. I've not managed to convince anybody that we should be having a playful when we put things together in a nice order.
I think one of the things that is important, however we choose to use the language, I guess we change the language in order to try and emphasize different elements of something to allow, you know, for something for something different to happen. But what's underneath there is the kind of beliefs that we bring about what we have to lose in a given situation if we look stupid, if we look silly, or all of these things that are the kind of, you know, the sort of critical, our critical self assessing or evaluating against this perfect being that everybody else is except me. Mythical, I should say, this mythical perfect being.
So quite often our excuse when things go wrong is, I was only kidding. And maybe if you rather than bring that in as an excuse for the start, we start saying, I was only playing. That might be interesting. I don't know if it links as well when we talk about making things, that the idea of throwing random in on purpose is quite a nice idea. You can see it in sort of glitching things and that sort of digital creativity, where you're basically looking for something unexpected, or maybe looking for patterns in the random, or seeing what gets thrown up, which is sort of futzing on purpose, I guess.
It was one of the things that first really attracted me to glitch art when I learned a little bit about it. This idea that you would find artistic value, you would find some, you know, art in things that happen in a random fashion, and that actually, you know, the very definition of a glitch is something gone wrong, but that actually something gone wrong can be really pretty, and something gone wrong can be a beautiful pattern that you enjoy watching, that you enjoy turning into an animated GIF. I'm reminded of the stuff that you've been playing with your what is it called? Something like magic something?
Image magic
image magic. Maybe say a bit about that, because I think that sort of embodies what we're talking about, because it's playing around, isn't it?
Oh yeah, but what's I think really interesting about that, and maybe a bit of background. I remember a few weeks ago we talked about the guy who's name I've forgotten, but he's a English professor in New York somewhere who analyses films by like dumping screenshots every 10 seconds or something, then averaging them. Mm-hmm. And he wrote a really nice piece that ended up in Medium, is where I saw it first, about these 50 westerns, and you know, the fact that it gets sort of slightly, I would say, Rothko-like, but maybe not as black, pictures.
Mm-hmm.
from averaging the things. And that's what I started doing, and I started off with Image Magic's a command line application for doing images, doing image work and things. So what you can do is, and what's great about it is, because it's a command line, you can loop things and you can do things really quite quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Although averaging over 1,000 images that I dumped from the wire wasn't probably my best idea for speed, because it took about 2 hours to run. it ended up with a JPEG that was pretty much just black with a slight pale greyness along the bottom. So that was a wee bit boring. But what I was doing was taking a series of sequences of images from things I'd taken in a walk, say, and averaging them. But then I started looping through and averaging them in chunks of 10. So you take 10 images, say 1 to 10, and you average them. Then you take 2 to 11 and average them, and go right through the whole series like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do this, you can do it in Photoshop, I suppose, by, you know, creating an image and piling up 10 layers and averaging them. But Image Magic lets you do that by writing a wee script, and then it only takes like a minute or something to knock out 50 JPEGs that have got 10 layers on them each. And I think that sort of, what you're doing is encouraging random, because then what you can do is look through all these different things, and by changing settings and adding values or subtracting or multiplying and dividing, you get different effects. And I suppose the only aesthetics is in the selection, really.
So how hard is it to get it going? Let's see. Let's say somebody listening to us wants to have a try with Image Magic to create
images. You need to use the command line, and I'm a Mac kind of person, so you use a terminal on a Mac. But Linux has got a command line, which is just the whole thing almost, and. There are, I think it's Cygwin or something like that, that's an application that will act like a command line on Windows, but I don't really know much about that. Mm-hmm. But what you need to do is first install the Image Magic program, and I can't actually remember how you do that, because it's a long time. I suspect I just downloaded the package and opened it and clicked a few buttons and it happens. But then what you've got is a whole...
And if that doesn't work, then you just futz a bit and you click a few more buttons and then something happens.
So once you've got that, it's rather unusual, because most command line applications you download have one one command, but Image Magic gives you a whole suite of commands, and I've been using one called Convert. And what you do is you type in to the terminal Convert, and then hyphen average. And then you drag in a bunch of JPEGs, and that fills up your terminal with all the file paths for those. And then you type one more in, like average.jpg, and hit return. And what it does is bubbles away for a minute or two, and then you've got an image called average.jpg, which is
the images.
It's basically layered them all, and I think it does it one at a time. It puts two together and then takes the average of the, you know, blends them with an like Photoshop or with using average, and then adds another one and adds another one and adds another one. Which
David has just sent us some examples. If you look on Twitter, you see the link of some. I guess it's somebody else, another DS106 person, I imagine, because there's.
Yeah.
DS106 on the page that he sent us. They are very beautiful. They're different, but the same kind of thing as the ones that you've been playing with.
Yeah, so those ones look as if they're what I'm talking about, which is averaged. The ones I think you saw on Flickr, I started doing the same thing, but subtracting. as opposed to averaging. Yeah, so these are similar photographs layered on top of each other. Those are really lovely.
I'm really interested in how you describe, because of course I know that you are attracted to the kind of technical elements and what happens if you add, what happens if you subtract, and you kind of try things out and then see what works. But I was interested in you saying actually where the aesthetic comes in is in the choosing.
Yeah.
And I think that's really an interesting thing, isn't it, about how we choose what counts as a good take and what counts as, fatsing and not good.
Mm.
You know, it's the kind of aesthetic judgment that we make in terms of yes or no for different things.
Yeah, when I started off doing this stuff a couple of days ago, I think I've done it before, but got back into it, and I put out a wee album which was averaging ones on Flickr, first called Average, because I thought these looked really nice, but I had no idea if they really were. You know what I mean? They look lovely to me, but you're going, are they not? And then I've started playing some more, and the subtraction ones, which is those Glenfinlas ones, which to me are really interesting because it's a walk I go probably two or three times a year, through some hills in Loch Lomond. Then there's a fence.
I'm just going to put the link in for. Let me just do 106 spell, and then go like this, and there. So then they have David Rochelle and others who are listening have the link that we're talking about, your walk. And what you've done, because I think they're astonishing. I think they're the most beautiful thing. I think they are so lovely that I am planning on liberating them into my spare room.
Oh, brilliant!
I'm going to make silk prints of them.
Wow.
And I'm going to put them on my walls.
Wow!
When I work out how to do it, because I have no idea.
I was going to say what I can probably do is run them off again higher res, because I made them about 1,000 pixels, are not exactly huge, but through them there's this one fence post that every time I go on this walk, I mean, I've literally got dozens and dozens of photographs of this fence post because it's got a loop of wire around it, and it has a great view down the next glen, and my wife, for instance, just doesn't understand why I keep taking this picture. It always reminds me of those kind of Zen circles, you know, that people draw freehand, the big sort of ink. So I always take a photograph of that, but I was quite pleased how well that came out. But I say I threw them up because at that point I was going, are these interesting? They look nice to me, they look interesting, and they've just come up from, and I threw an awful lot away, but they just basically come up from randomness, you know.
So that's the thing, isn't it? It's about, yes, you throw out a lot away, and then, you know, you pick on the basis of often some kind of unconscious sense of aesthetic, because often we can't name why we like something. But in a way, I just, you know, to taking it back to the idea that, you know, this is really starting with no plan. Not even that you started with a plan that changed, but it's really starting with no plan, then seeing what emerges, and then working from there to make a decision about whether or not this is something that that you will preserve in some way because you value it. Yes.
I don't know, it may have been David who's perhaps listening at the moment. Somebody on Twitter once said, oh, everybody's got a 5 gigabyte folder on their desktop called DS106. It's like all this stuff that you've made and maybe you haven't published and all the rest of it.
I remember Viv posting I think it was a screenshot of her computer where, you know, all the stuff was like, you know, so the file, the DS106 file, was just so large that it was practically taking over her computer.
Yeah. But it's that, and it's maybe linked in. There was a really nice assignment that was set just once, as far as I know, and it was Alan Levine that did it. And what he did was got everybody to, through a Dropbox link, to dump audio and video and images that they'd started to make something with for DS-106 and decided it wasn't going to go anywhere. You know, they'd never finished it, or it was the bits that were left on the cutting room floor. Mm-hmm. And there was about 100 different bits, audio, video, and images, mostly images, that were uploaded. And the challenge, I can't actually remember what it exactly was, but it was to make something
out of the leftovers.
And I had great fun with that one.
I could imagine. I'm sure you do too. I have a folder that I call it Gubbins for Gifts. And that's like when I've started something and it's not quite gone, but I thought, oh, I might use this for later. Yeah. And I have a whole, and I rarely go back there to see what's there. But actually, you've given me that idea, because that's a way of saying, actually, well, these are the leftovers. These are the takes that didn't go right. But what could you do with it? And somebody like Andrew and other people I know who do a lot of animated GIFs, Michael is also, they go back to that, and they have different versions, and they go back and they say, well, this one, I changed this way, I changed it again. I'm not so good with that. I don't know if you are.
I tend to, iterate over things, I think, quite a lot. And sometimes I think you can spend a couple of days and you just end up with nothing that is publishable. But you may very well have learned something in the process, if you know what I mean. I mean, there's a lot to be learned by, and again, it's this probably idea of failure, I guess, that we can do. You actually learn something even if you don't get a good result out of the end. It's nice to get the good result, though, I think.
There's also that. I mean, I think what's another layer of all this is the private public, which is a sort of dimension, which is that, you know, when I sit in front of my computer and work in Photoshop for a whole weekend and fail miserably at getting an animated GIF that I wanted, well, nobody needs to know. And sometimes I choose to post my failures to go, oh my God, how do I get these right? But nobody needs to know. I think that the live radio, which is what's the lovely thing about, DS-106 and having DS-106 radio, that adds this other layer, which is that, you know, the sort of public, it's improvisation, really, that's what it is, unless we had a script worked out for everything that we do. It's improvisation live. Even if you have no listeners, which is not the case for us today, because we've got a million listeners. even if you have no listeners, it's this idea of the idea of having an audience changes how you interact when you go live. So there is something about the kind of improvisational nature of that probably, you know, that can also, I think, help. Not just in terms of your creativity, but in terms of your ability to present ideas and reflect and explore ideas without a preconceived notion of how you're going to do it. In the kind of way, I suppose, that when we prepare for this, we don't prepare what we're going to say. We think, here are some things that we might talk about, and sometimes we talk about them, and sometimes we talk about something completely different.
I think that's quite nice, and it's like the ums and ahs and the dead air and things like that. I think it is kind of part of that process. It's maybe a very different process than having something that is very scripted. And occasionally I've done podcasts where I actually write a script and read it, and it just sounds weird. Listening back to it, it's something completely different. Viv's saying on Twitter there, I don't think there's any such thing as failed art, perhaps art that is a little unloved.
You're so sweet.
I just wonder at what point does, you know, it, once you start something, that there must be, there's a point where it, I don't know, becomes loved or something like that, or becomes what you were looking for, or becomes, I mean, there is some terrible things in my DS-106 folder that just haven't worked, mostly to do with Photoshop, I must admit. I think if the more I stay away from Photoshop, the happier I am, probably, because it is a very, very difficult thing.
I remember when the first time the headless 13 that I did, DS106, the whole thing, and we went through the design week. And we started to look at all the various principles of good design, and we worked with this, and we worked with taking photographs and design safari, and walking around our environment, and finding examples of good design, all of these things. But when I started, I was so hopeful that I would find the holy grail of the six principles that tell me that art is good or bad.
I wanted
precision here. I wanted to be able to go, here is the link to the six principles that everything you do must comply with. I never did find it.
No, I mean, it's like, no matter how much, I reckon I've made thousands of web pages or something in my time, and they still just are not well designed, because it's something I think is really difficult to get these principles and to get these rules. It's almost like got to be, I just find it that sort of thing very difficult. I'd much rather look for the serendipitous, maybe that's just laziness, or I don't know, on my part. I find it easier to make something nice by randomising things rather than trying to get it right, or to aim for something.
Viv says there would be seven principles of good art. Okay, we're going to have to write those. I think.
Seven principles. Once we've finished 106 bullets,
then we could do another.
We'll work on the seven principles of good art.
The closest I remember finding was when I learned that people, photographers and other people, used the principles of Gestalt to help them, things like symmetry, things like closure, perceptual things that we look for pattern, we look for symmetrical things, certain things that are appealing to us just because of the way that our perceptual system is built. That was the closest I found, and because of course my own background, that kind of made sense to me, but it still doesn't give you a checklist.
Yeah, well, it's like if you see a good photographer, and the way they look and the way they take shots and all the rest of it, it's completely different. They know what they're looking for, and they know sorts of things to say. Practice. I don't know, if I looked at my camera roll on my phone, I've probably got thousands and thousands of photos, and Rochelle's saying practice. It doesn't seem to have done much good. That I think every so often I take a photograph that looks quite nice because of a couple of things. One, I take a lot of photographs, and two, there are lots of nice things around. It's what you do is, I think when I can see something, I can select.
But that's the choosing of your random photo. Yeah.
And Viv is saying she'd like the idea of randomising to create art. I wonder could do that with music. That'd be quite...
Well, I suppose isn't jazz improvisation like that?
Yeah, I'm just wondering how you would... I wonder if there's... I'm sure there is, if you've got a sort of MIDI-type synthesizer idea. You could do some sort of... I guess you'd probably have to know a wee bit about music.
Well, it's the same as you would know colors and what to, what to select. I mean, Viv and David could probably do wonderful things with just, let's put all of these things together and see how they sound, because they understand music. There is that thing I'm reminded of, the whole notion of, creativity. Yes, it has an element of, you experimenting, practicing, putting things together, but it also has an element that people often forget, that is just the kind of the putting in the hours for learning the craft, for learning what Chisan Mihaly, who is the psychologist that looks at systemic creativity, he talks about learning the domain, learning the kind of the symbol system of whatever domain you're choosing, whether it be music, whether it be, photography and so on. And actually that takes years and years and years of practice. And we often forget, it's kind of, in DS-106, often we're learning everything together, because certainly I was, because I had no idea about, Photoshop. Take that as an example. I don't know how to take pictures. I wouldn't have known necessarily, how to pick a good or a bad one. So I'm trying to learn everything together. And that, I think, is hugely challenging. And it isn't often how people start to learn a craft. Because if you think about learning the piano, at the start, what it often is really, really, really boring things that you go over and over and over again until you're then able to, you understand the components, you understand the symbol system enough that you can then say, okay, I'm going to improvise. Some people never get past the procedural, I think. That's also true, I guess. David is saying one of the things that he's learned about making art is to always simplify. I'm getting to that. I used to like to throw, my animated GIFs, I used to like to throw, everything in the kitchen sink. What is the expression? Everything but the kitchen sink to it all. And now I'm going, well, actually, it doesn't need any more. I guess that's what David means. And it's just sort of getting a pattern or a composition without feeling like you have to. Delete anything. It's that thing that we had a daily create a little while ago, which I loved. It was the art by deletion, the kind of absence poster, where we famous photographer did famous classic movie posters and deleted everything. From the movie poster, except, I guess, the sort of basic images. And they were just compelling. They were beautiful, beautiful things. It's really just, it becomes a work of art by deleting stuff. What don't we need here? And I really enjoyed doing it. I picked a poster and I worked with it and there was something very therapeutic about the kind of simplification of this thing.
Yeah, it sounds lovely. I think I was actually thinking of the ones which there was one a while ago where you cut something out of the picture and left a grey space.
Yes, I remember. Yes.
That was like an absence, but it didn't look as nice, I don't think, as the things you're talking about, which did. Mariana, it's kind of getting just running on a bit past our half hour mark, but. I was going to ask about a couple of things that are happening in DS-106 land, which I haven't really fully followed, but there's a course that's just started now, isn't there? University of Mary Washington.
The summer one that I am not remembering. Can you believe? Imagine this. I can't remember her. Jennifer.
Yeah.
I remember people's names by their Twitter handle. It's terrible. Jennifer Pollock is running it, I think. Yeah. I think she's the only one involved with that one. So, yes, I think it's just started, as far as I know. But I know very little about it. I haven't been following because, I've been involved in other stuff.
More things, yeah. And the other one, of course, is the one that...
Our fairy tales, our Bovine County Fairy Tale Festival.
So,
is that the one?
I think so. Again, it's one. I mean, I've been included in tweets, and I browse through the Google Plus thing every so often. And I'm just wondering, can you tell us what's happening with that?
All I know, I like you, I've just been following in social media, and last year we did a kind of a collaborative story around just creating one WordPress blog, which we worked together within to tell and to create a story, and it was the family a family story of the Bergerons, mm-hmm. Which then turned into the Bergerons, mm-hmm. as per Tokitina, as how Tokitina would say it. And what we did was just really try and tell a collaborative story with, you know, just very basic elements about, you know, having a location, having, you know, a family, and then different people created characters of the, you know, different family members, and just kind of weaving a story. And the idea this year is to go back for the summer so that the family gets together for the summer, to attend, a fairy tale festival. And the idea behind this is that we might then be able to have a bit more freedom about the stories we tell, so that different people can involve themselves in different things. So I know, for example, that some people have started working with the creation of a Dutch fairy tale. Somebody else, I think Rochelle, has been kind of creating some new characters, and the kind of umbrella idea is the fairy tale festival that will happen, I guess, at a specific date. Kind of like we had the reunion last year, and then things will happen working up to that. So that's the idea of the summer story to collaborative storytelling, which, you know, we've invited anybody who wants to join, but I mean, nothing very much has happened yet.
It's interesting that I saw some tweets in Dutch, I guess, about this. Yeah, and Rochelle's just sent us a link, so I'll pop the link in the show notes. People may, if anybody is paying attention, I am now 1 week behind with the audio. I didn't get last week's up yet. I should get them up tomorrow, I think. Just had a lot of podcasting and various other things recently. Anyway, I think that wraps up. I think I quite liked it, and I don't think we've got time. Alan Levine wrote just a wonderful post about DS106, which I hope nobody's missed. Going over the amazing number of courses and people involved over time last week, but maybe we can come back to that next week.
It was a great one. It's a nice one to refer to when people ask about it as well.
I thought
to do that.
He also answered the sort of accusation that it's sort of all about Jim. That you sometimes see around DS106 when other academics become, you know, interested, but it's obviously not. Although he's a powerful force, there's been a lot of other great people involved. Anyhow, will we play out with some?
What are you going to pick?
I don't know. Well.
Oh, pick one of Viv's and Dave's.
Well,
Dave's
I just
Jim who? Jim who indeed? Yeah. That David.
Yeah, you're right. I haven't made the search. Now, I wish I had got things organised in my iTunes for this. I think this is the right one. I'm looking for the lovely one by Viv that is, I always think of as Top Cat, because that's my, of all the bumpers that we play, that's still, I'm afraid, my favourite one. Just because
we're going to have to end with For Life now that we've got David. David listening, otherwise he's going to, because he wouldn't let us get away without.
I had a wee For Life in my introduction, which is getting slightly
that's
less.
True. That's true.
Slightly less. British, I suppose, as the weeks go on. Anyway, here we go. Here's Viv. I don't know if it's the right one. Oh, yes.
Good spell. We join the Marriott, a good spell.
Almost tempted to join in, but.
Oh, go on. You have to do it.
It'd be too horrible.
Tune into the DS106 radio show.
We should get you singing as well. This summer.
The leaders of the game. They are bright, they are sweet. So go and give them a tweet. The DS106. 6 Good Spouse Show.
Bump. Thank you very much, Viv. And we'll just say goodnight, and I'll hang up DS106 Radio for life.
For life.
Cheers.